Are you all ready to go out to the ocean?
Let's go.
Let's definitely go.
I love the ocean, don't you?
Very much. There's so many things to love about the ocean. I wouldn't even know where to start.
The ocean is another whole world on top of the ocean and then and underneath the ocean. And oh, it's just fun, isn't it?
So much fun. You're having fun in the article on top of the ocean with stand-up paddleboarding.
Well, now, what article are you talking about, Zach?
Well, we're in our adventure feature. Today, we're in July 7th and on page 17.
Okay. And we all recovered from the 4th of July ceremony fun, yeah?
We have, although, the best picnics. Way really to celebrate anything is by going having a picnic on the beach and then maybe playing in the water.
Hey, that's a good idea, but you got to take away that fear of the water for some people who are scared to death of the water, but not us, right? We love the water.
We love the water.
Yeah. And I'm so glad to say that some people who've listened to our program decided to become scuba divers because of us. Did you know that?
That is amazing, and that really is encouraging, and that really does say that this can be your window on the world, because
that's
the ocean is a huge world, and it'd be a shame not to get to know it.
That's true, and then we think about going to the mountains and the forests, and they're beautiful, but it's beautiful under the water, too, and Zach's going to start taking his scuba lessons very soon.
I can't wait.
Yeah, well, but now we're talking about some kind of a sport that is good for kids, as well as probably, not too older people, I don't know, but it's good for young people. Anyway, what is the sport that we're talking about that has taken hold now?
Well, we're talking about stand-up paddle boards, and I think you'd be surprised, Doris, like some of those paddle boards are so stable that you might even enjoy standing on it.
I don't really know. I kind of like it under the water, but, we'll think about it. Can you do that in a lot of places now?
You can do it a lot of places now.
Yeah, certainly. Now, it kind of first looks like surfing that's going on, but the board is actually a bit broader, and you have a paddle that allows you to kind of push yourself into the swell.
That sounds good to me because those surfing boards are kind of small for people to get on and stand on. So it's a little bigger than that.
It's a little bigger than that. It's a little more stable. And if it's just sitting in the water, you can stand up on it and use a paddle to get around. So it is, you do need a little bit of balance, of course, just like standing on anything, but it's a little bit easier to get started. And it sounds like, I know in Central America it was really starting to take off, and it sounds like maybe it's starting to take off here in Taiwan as well.
Who knows, Well, our article is on pages 16 and 17, and one man who loved the water, and he liked rowing and going out in kayaks and all kinds of surfing things, and he said, I think this is a good idea. So he started a pilot program, and what do they call the program?
Well, this program is the Paddle Academy, and we met Mike yesterday in his effort in trying to start this and reach out to young kids who might be stoked on the ocean or excited about getting outside.
Well, we read about one young man named Tyler yesterday who wasn't really stoked on it himself, but I guess his mother or somebody talked him into it because he liked to stay home and look at video games and television, and what happened to him?
Well, so they said that he went from a 12-year-old boy who was deathly afraid of the water and pretty much just liked to zone out or play video games and not do anything else to a pretty fierce competitor in stand-up paddleboard racing at the age of 15. So in 3 years, makes kind of like a big change.
So if you have any kids in your family or your relatives or your nieces and nephews, hey, get them to a program. Don't let them just sit there and do computer games all the time, right?
Yeah, and they said that this the Paddleboard Academy, the idea was to do sort of like an after-school program that would be a mentoring program for kids.
That's true.
Right. Well, and if you think about it, kids are very impressionable, so sometimes they just need that extra push in the right direction, and they might really take to something new.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, if you look at page 17 today, there's this little thing at the top of the page. It says it's the Paddle Academy's vision. What is that vision? Would you read that for us, Zach?
Yes. So right at the top of page 17, it says it's more than about just going fast or being able to handle a big board and surf. That's just the racing aspect. The other part is mentoring in a sport they can carry on as a lifestyle forever.
So you don't just say, okay, when you're a kid, you do this. You can keep doing it, right?
Right, kind of a hobby for life, so to speak.
Yeah, and so the nice thing here that you can kind of take away from the vision for Paddle Academy is not just to train racers, not just to train people to be good in the waves or to go fast, but to give them a lot of skills and I have tools in order to be able to really enjoy stand-up paddleboarding, a lot of different environments for their entire life.
So before they go into the ocean and get on the paddleboards, they get together on shore and they teach the basics of how to do that, and they even have warm-ups and things on the shore, don't they?
Yeah, so they warm up in the grass mm-hmm. on the shore before the beach in order to kind of get ready for their training, because they are also training to race, which is to be able to do high-performance stand-up paddleboarding.
Yeah, you checked their website, didn't you, Zach?
I did, yeah. That kind of fits into, you know, one of the things they offer, and that is just proper, well, they say proper nutrition, but I think it also goes into just the whole aspect of staying fit and staying healthy and just ensuring that you don't get hurt while you're out there. So a proper warm-up makes sure that you don't come back injured after the activity.
Hmm.
Now, there's something here that the article doesn't mention that I noticed in Costa Rica about stand-up paddleboarding, and that is when you're on a stand-up paddleboard, you can go out into the waves and you can surf it like a surfboard, but you can kind of also use it like a kayak, meaning that you can use it to kind of get around from place to place. So where I was living in Costa Rica, there would be different bays that you could maybe surf in, but then if you wanted to go to the next one, you would pick up your board and you would walk across the rocks to the next bay and then get in the water again. Well, there was a lot of stand-up paddleboarders who would just take the board and paddle from one bay to the next. So you can use it kind of to
get around and enjoy
being out on the water as well.
What do you think, Zach?
I'm glad that you said that, Josh. In one instance, I remember out near on the north coast, kind of near Jingshan and out that way,
we used
stand-up paddleboards just to kind of explore some of the
coast.
You've
been on the paddleboard, have you?
That's right.
Good thing he's been on a paddleboard.
Very cool. So not just to go surfing, but also just to kind of get out and cruise around.
The day was, in fact, the swell was very flat, and so there were no waves to surf. So we said, oh, let's try the paddleboards and go look at the new coastline.
Very cool. Did you have fun?
Oh, so much fun. Well, highly recommend it.
What did you do, rent the paddleboard or what?
Yes, you can rent at local surf shops. Some of the shops will have these paddleboards, and you can just rent it for as long as you like.
Was it a lot of exercise?
It was.
You know, this is summer. It's a good time to do that, isn't it? Be sure to put sunscreen on, though.
Definitely. A lot of times when I see paddleboarders, they will go out with what they call rash guards, but it's the sort of the long sleeve to protect you from the salt and getting your skin rubbed on the board, but also to protect you from the sun, but also the big hats and the sunglasses as well.
Well, you wear hats, too?
Well,
what if you fall in the water and you get your hat on?
Well, you have the hats with the strap to try and keep it. But really, it is possible to fall in the water with a stand-up paddleboard, but really, they are so stable that you can stand on them and move around quite a bit without having to worry about falling.
Okay, so some of you might want to try it. Well, let's get into the lesson today. Where are we going to start today now?
All right, we're on the top of page 17, and today is July 7th.
Let's just do the first section then.
It's the hard days, the cloudy, windy, or big wave days that challenge the youngsters. They have to come on days they don't feel up to it, Isert said. They are challenged to overcome fears. They learn about the weather, safety, what the wind does to the ocean currents. They learn about sticking to it. The biggest thing we preach? It's consistency through life that gets you where you want to be.
Sometimes it's hard, you know, to challenge the youngsters because sometimes they don't feel like, I can't do it. I don't feel up to it today. I don't really feel like doing it. So what do they do to challenge them?
Well, you know, it says here that those hard days are the days that you really have to be on the lookout for because it's less motivation when it's cloudy and it's windy and there's those big waves.
Well, some of them are afraid, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly.
Yeah, and they have to overcome that fear.
Yeah, so, you know, there's nothing quite like, wanting to go out to the ocean and then going out and looking at the conditions and realizing that the waves are a lot bigger than you anticipated, or maybe the wind is blowing a lot stronger than you anticipated, and you can really start getting concerned about whether or not it's going to be easy and whether or not you're able, really, to go out on the water and be safe.
Or, for instance, maybe your first time doing something, it was a bright sunny day, sure. And it was the appropriate swell size, and they're like, yeah, I want to go back out there again, but this time it's different.
I don't feel like it, yeah. You know, one thing is that when they teach this here, they challenge them, but they also learn about the weather. Now, if you're a scuba diver, you still have to learn what to do in the water and when to come up and when you're going to be a surfer or when you're going to do this, that you have to learn about the safety and what the wind does to the currents. If there's a strong current, you have to keep out of that. I mean, you know, you have to learn something. You don't just get on there and go out there. You got to learn about it.
There's a lot of things that, you know, with time you learn about the ocean that's very important. You have to know not just about the current conditions, and maybe picking up on things that with just small little clues, then you realize what's going on. Sometimes you can see strong currents or riptides before you get in them, which is a good idea. But other things you have to learn about is knowing when things are going to change. So if you can see weather coming in or if the tides are changing, to be able to anticipate those conditions that might be dangerous and be able to work with that.
Well, another thing it tells us down here is that you have to learn about sticking to it. Now, sticking to it means just buiao fang qi in Chinese, don't give up. Because you say, oh, it's too hard, I don't want to do it. Especially little kids, if they fall off too many times, they say, Mom, I don't want to do that, you know. And you have to learn to hang in there. Now, I don't care if that's surfing or learning a language or learning a new job. Sometimes we give up too soon. You have to stick to it. You have to be consistent. You have to learn consistency.
Well, and that is the vision, I think, for this Paddle Academy. And they says they preach consistency through life that gets you where you want to be. So if you have a goal or you want to be successful in something, that's not going to happen without kind of a can-do attitude and sticking to something.
Right.
There's something really particularly beautiful about learning ocean sports. And I have a question for Zach. When you were first learning how to surf, was it difficult to stick to it?
It certainly was. Mm-hmm.
Did you fall off a few times?
Of course.
So many times. And there's that first time when the wave really takes you for a spin and you don't know which way is up. It can be really scary.
It can be, and it was.
But you didn't give up.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. And was it worth it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
See, consistency, okay.
So consistency and sticking to something. So even though it's really, really, really difficult or hard or challenging, if you just keep at it, the rewards are definitely worth it.
Well, kids need encouragement. They need mentors. They don't just go out and do it on their own. They have to have somebody that's kind of training the people they can look up to, that you can mentor other people once you do it.
That's right. And I think the same applies. You need that mentor in order to kind of persevere and reach these goals, but also specifically with water sports, just to remain safe, as the article had mentioned, because I'm glad that this article mentioned safety and that you guys had offered your insights, because I really do think it's a big deal. If you are going to approach the ocean, do know kind of the environment that you're getting into. You know, we talked about currents and riptides and the tides changing.
Sure, they learn all that. Mm-hmm.
That's so important.
But you know what? We try to mentor you in your English. Now, some of you said, I've listened in since Let's Talk at Studio Classroom. Oh, Advance is too hard. But we want to coax you into listening to Advance, because as you listen to it more, you're going to find out that you can do it. So don't give up too soon. Just stick to it. And thank you for being with us all this time. That's good. But let's go on to the next section here and find out about some of the people who joined the program. Are you ready for the second reading?
Oh, yeah. Let's find out about these young competitors.
The young competitors. Paddler Sam Sherritt, 12, joined because he had friends in the program. His goal? To enter the prestigious Pacific Paddle Games, an event that brings the top SUP racers from around the world to their training ground at Doheny. Dad Robert Hausen has seen his daughter go from amateur status to semi-pro in just a few years. He feels her skill level is high enough she can handle herself in the open ocean. An added perk, he gets to share his love of the ocean with his daughter. It's allowed me to have a bond with my daughter I never thought I'd have, in a sport I was interested in, he said. On a recent day, the group of about 30 kids start their after-school session with stretches and a warm-up before hitting the water. Then they follow a rock jetty out to the open ocean, doing sprints out to a buoy, digging their paddles into the ocean, then lapping back toward shore. Each session ends with a run.
Well, on the first day of our lesson, we talked about this Tyler, how he really got to like it, and he was 12, and that seems to be a good age. What about this paddler, Sam Sherritt?
So Sam Sherritt is also 12, and that he enjoyed because he had friends in the program. This is one of the, I think, the most powerful things about doing youth programs is that kids really pay attention to what their friends are doing, and you can get a lot of kids involved by just involving their friends.
But he had a goal when he joined, too. What did he want to join for?
Well, he wanted to enter this prestigious Pacific Paddle Games, right? And we're introduced to one of our vocabulary focus words. Prestigious just means kind of a very respected or admired, whatever it is. And in this case, it's a highly respected
competition. We see that word a lot. They talk about a prestigious, well, I think pseudo-classroom is prestigious English teaching or a prestigious university. It kind of means
it's well-known
and has status, kind of, right? What do you think?
Yeah, and usually well-known for being sort of admired in whatever its focus is. So for university, it would be for education. Here as a competition.
Don't you think kids sometimes want to join the football team because, you know, that's a very prestigious game for the kids at school, and, you know, they want to be in something that some club, the Boy Scouts or something like that. Those are prestigious organizations. So he says, well, this is the Pacific Paddle Games. I want to be a part of these games. So that's what he wanted to join. That was his goal, to get in it, wasn't it?
He wanted to compete, and he wanted to compete against some of the top paddleboard racers from around the world.
Wow. So then he did decide to join because of that, and probably he did okay. Well, what about Dad Robert House, and what did he find out?
So here we're talking about a dad who had seen his daughter, who we assume is part of this paddling academy, go from an amateur status, so somebody who does a sport non-professionally or not paid for money, to semi-pro in just a few years. So if you're a semi-pro, you're not a full professional. So professional athlete, usually somebody who does a sport full-time and is paid for it. But if you're semi-pro, you're probably paid somehow. But you definitely don't do it full-time yet. But that's a big step to go from amateur to semi-pro in just a short time.
Well, and her skill is high enough now that she can handle herself in the open ocean. That sounds kind of scary because the ocean is so big and you go the wrong way and you're going to end up in China or something.
Often you'll see this kind of describe the ocean with this open, right?
Right.
It's so vast. And
there's no other shore that you can see and you get out there. Yeah,
I think a lot of times when people talk about the open ocean, they mean being in the ocean where you're a good distance from shore.
That's true. Mm-hmm. So that's a high skill. She's high enough so she can handle if the waves come up or something happens. She knows how to take care of herself.
Mm-hmm. That's one bonus, but there's another one.
But there's an added perk, and perks are always kind of nice. What are perks, anyway?
Well, so it's a kind of a way of saying, like, a bonus, right, like Zach said, or something that's sort of, like, special or something that's, like, a benefit.
Like a bonus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So what is an added bonus?
Well, here he gets to share his love of the ocean with his daughter. So they have this kind of a common bond, and they get to kind of do this together.
And it's kind of nice when the parents take part. For instance, sometimes when kids take piano lessons, their mother will sit on the bench with them and play, instead of just saying, practice the piano, you know. Mm-hmm. And you share that bond with them. Or the same way when you learn cooking, your mother's there helping you cook. You don't just say, go learn how to cook.
Right.
And when you go out in the ocean, if your mother or your father's with you, then it gives you a special bond that you two have. Don't you think that's good?
That is very good, and it's really neat when you can share a bond with someone in an area, something you can love. And Doris, you came up with a lot of good examples. It could be anything. Obviously here the ocean, but food, cooking, music, there are so many different things that you can really fall in love with and then share a bond with other people who love that same thing. And sometimes it almost even feels like you can speak a special language because you'll start talking in terms of the things that you love together, and other people will be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, even in languages, you know, you'd be surprised how many kids have listened to Let's Talk with their mothers and fathers, and how many people tell me that their father used to get up and listen to Studio Classroom, and so they listened to it, and then they learned, and they shared it, and they did it together. So you can do that in learning a language, too.
Oh, you definitely can.
You can do it in anything, right? So this bonds people together. And tell us what happened recently. They had a group of about 30 kids. What happened?
Well, after school session had started up. And so after school sessions, you know, I suppose right after school, they go down to practice. And they begin with stretches and a warm-up. And we had talked about that a little bit yesterday, mm-hmm. where they're kind of, you know, there's a pre-step before you get into the water. And it's just to get your body ready and warmed up and your muscles so that they're not going to get injured.
Mm-hmm.
And they then they go and they hit the water.
Well, it says that there were about 30 kids. So I wonder if, you know, this is something that kind of they organized, maybe the school organized it or something. Because 30 kids all together, that's quite a few.
It is quite a few. Yeah, I don't know if there's a partnership.
Or a class or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes I know that some, you know, if you're starting something new,
yeah.
or you have a mentorship program.
That's a lot of kids to handle by the ocean, though, isn't it?
That's true. That's 30 kids on the ocean and 30 boards at the same time, that's a lot.
Hopefully there's more than just one mentor.
Well, I'm sure there must be more than one mentor, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, and so here they talk about doing this after-school session, mm-hmm. and you're right, it could be arranged by the schools, but a lot of times when we talk about an after-school activity, that's usually an activity of some sort that takes place right as the school day gets out or shortly thereafter.
Because American schools get out about 3 o'clock.
Exactly.
Not
a little bit earlier,
o'clock.
Not at 5 o'clock. And so, and then the kids will go and participate in that, usually without going home.
Right.
Right. So they'll go straight from school, mm-hmm. whatever the activity is. And usually that means they have to kind of carry all of their equipment and gear with them to school so they can be ready to go right as school stops.
And some of the things probably are prepared at the beach, but they go out to this rock jetty. The jetty just means something that goes out into the ocean like a kind of a...
It could be stone or
yeah.
it could be... I mean, it could be any material, but it's basically
little bridge
where the...
Even. It could be, goes
it could
out
be
there.
Where yeah. the boats often kind yeah. of... park there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boats will park there. A lot of times they'll put jetties out in order to kind of break up the waves a little bit so they have a little bit more of a protected area close to the shore. But mm-hmm. basically it's just sort of a long structure that goes out into the ocean.
When they do sprints out mm-hmm. to a buoy, how do they do that? They kind of...
Mm-hmm. So then they'll kind of maybe work extra hard to sprint is just to kind of like go as fast as you can.
Run or swim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think here at this point they are swimming.
So they're yeah. on the paddle boards here. Right. I think they're kind of talking a little bit about
okay.
what a competition might look
okay.
like. So part of the competition then will be getting out past the jetty, past
okay.
the waves, into the ocean, open ocean,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll do these sprints. So that'll be, we never really talked exactly about what a paddleboard paddle looks like, but there's some pictures here on the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very long paddle
yes,
because it has to reach the water from you standing up, and it's got just the paddle on one end and the handle, a little T-bar, so that fits into whatever your not dominant hand is. For me, it would be my left hand because I'm a right-handed person.
Mm-hmm.
And then your dominant hand kind of holds the shaft about halfway, a little bit further down, and you have to be able to reach into the water and really give kind of a really strong pull from a standing position. And so, what
so you have to dig in with your paddle.
You have to dig in with your paddle,
yeah.
exactly. So they're talking here about doing sprinting with
which
the paddleboard,
right.
which is to go very, very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be able to dig in with your paddle and be able to paddle hard and
push
fast
hard,
speed,
right?
right?
Yeah.
But then you also have to go in a straight line to head towards a buoy. So a buoy is usually it's a device that's fixed on the ocean floor that has a float on the top of it that's easy to see. It could be plastic. It could be metal.
It measures something.
It measures something or it's a marked area that stays
marks something
fixed
in the water.
In the
yeah.
water, right? Doesn't float. It doesn't move around with the current.
Right.
So they kind of go out.
It's got an anchor on
mm-hmm.
it. Yeah.
yeah. Right. They kind of go out to this marked point by the buoy, and then it says they do a lap back towards the shore.
And each session ends with a run.
Wow. That's right.
right.
So
okay.
they're really trying to work on their just
endurance right?
and just their physical condition.
Well, it says they're excited about what's ahead. It says here that ICE are just looking forward to a new crop of students who will join the Paddle Academy. At least, perhaps they'll find a connection with the outdoors and tune their balance skills on the water. And maybe there's a world champion just waiting to discover his or her passion for paddling.
That's right. So they are looking at a new group of students. Here it says they use crop. It just means kind of this next group of who share this thing in common here. It's the paddle boarding, and they are hoping to kind of get them challenged and excited about what's ahead.
And a connection with outdoors is very important, because don't just sit indoors all the time. There's beautiful nature in many different places. So tune in and balance your skills on the water as well as sometimes on shore. But you need to tune into nature. And maybe you will be a champion someday, but you might just have a passion for being in the ocean and paddling.
You never know where you'll find your passion, so you got to remember to get out there and try new things.
Now, you did check the website, didn't you?
That's right. And so there are different fees, and there's different classes, and I think it's a good way to learn about paddleboarding and everything that it has to offer.
Well, thanks for being with us today. It's been an interesting, unique way of thinking of mentoring, but also it tells us more about getting out and not just sitting there watching TV all the time.
Yeah, it may be a good way for people to really get out and enjoy the ocean near them. So if there's an opportunity to take some lessons in order to learn a little bit about the ocean and then jump up on a stand-up paddleboard, I'm interested just after reading this article.
Well, besides, it's summer now. You can take a little time and bond with your children and do something with them.
That's right.
Do it together.
Do it together is always better. And to be able to share that bond, what a special thing.
So thanks for being with us today, everybody, and have fun this summer.
Thank you very much, Doris, and I hope everybody else who's listening to us is able to enjoy a little bit of English and maybe a little bit of ocean.
All right.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.